Hey, no matter what content you teach, at some point you're going to talk to the kids about primary versus secondary sources of information. And that's what I'm going to talk about today as a lead-in into a really cool multiple-part episode series where I'm interviewing a gentleman who grew up as the child of sharecroppers, experienced World War II, and became a successful businessman, husband, and father. Enjoy.
You are listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, a podcast for educators, helping you help kids achieve their dreams. And now here's Steve with this week's show.
I recently had the opportunity to interview a wonderful man by the name of Jim Spradley. Now, Mr. Spradley started out as the child of sharecroppers in southern Georgia in the United States. And he went on to be a young man participating in the Pacific Theater in World War II, and to return from World War II to go on to start a bakery business with a friend. This eventually led him to be extremely successful as a businessman. When you hear this interview, and it's, by the way, it's divided over several episodes over the next coming weeks. My whole point in this is twofold. One, to expose you to the wonderful experiences of someone who was there, lived it, experienced it, survived it, and most of all, through determination, became successful in so many different aspects of life. Too often we hear young people say things like, oh, if only this, or lucky that, or lucky that, or lucky this, or lucky that. You know, or if I only had this, or if I only had that, or this person made me do this, or this person made me do that, or blah, 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 blah. You're going to hear Mr. Spradley talk about his experiences. At the time of the interview, he's 91 years old. He fought off the experiences of life. He survived a war. He overcame poverty. Yet, nothing became that impossible barrier. Nothing could stand in his way and keep him from being successful. So with that being said, I also want to use this as an opportunity to talk about the importance of primary sources in the classroom. You know what I'm talking about. Primary sources of information. No matter what subject or content you teach, I am sure that you seek to make it engaging. You know, the idea that you want to want the kids to want to know more. You want that light bulb to go off in their head and make them go, wow, this is really cool. And whether they admit it or not, you see it in their eyes. You see it in the questions that they ask. You think about it the way that they get excited about working on whatever it is you're working on. You know, suddenly there is that feeling that the kids get that this is cool. And that's what you're trying to do in your classes, isn't it? Come on, admit it. It's not about test scores. It's not about just doing it because you have to do it. It's because you want to know more. Now, if that's the case, how do you go about doing that? Well, first, let's talk about something that they've really got to know more about, and you've got to know more about. And let's get back to that I started talking about a minute ago, which is the difference between primary and secondary sources, because primary sources are where are going to help you make it engaging. Okay, I can almost hear all of you yawning out there. Did he say primary versus secondary sources of information? Yeah, there's an engaging topic. Oh, now cut that out. The only reason why we see this as boring is because the topic was only discussed in reference to requirements for a research paper. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, that's so disappointing that that's the way it was presented to us. You know, that is just so, so sad and so very bad, because the subject is actually interesting. and a pathway to getting the kids to go, wow. If you're going to use primary sources to help you make the class engaging, then like most aspects of working with kids, it takes time. It means that you've got to spend time planning, preparing, doing your own research in order to come up with that thing, that article, that bit that's going to make the kids want to say, cool, I like this. So let's start first with this basic understanding of primary versus secondary sources of information. First, primary, first-hand accounts of an event, topic, or historical time period. These are original materials you can interpret on your own. Also included within this is someone with first-hand knowledge of the event, so they could have lived through it. Here's some specific examples of what I'm talking about. So some examples of primary sources, raw data from an experiment or survey, observation notes, lab notes, reports, interviews. Interviews? See where I'm going with this, right? Letters, diaries, personal journals, original photographs, newspaper articles, speeches, plays, songs, survey results. Maybe even some social media, depending on what it is that you're trying to introduce the kids to. Typical secondary sources are interpretations, criticisms, analyzations of original documents. Secondary sources of information often are, you know, things like books and textbooks, journal articles, essays, commentaries on specific works. You know, so if you think about it, the biggest difference here is that secondary information has already been interpreted. It's someone's interpretation of whatever that event was, all right, or whatever happened, or whoever that person was, that type of thing, right? So we're focused on primary sources of information. So now that we have this in our heads, of, you know, this idea of primary versus secondary, how could we use a primary source to make our class more engaging? So let's start with this as an example. You know, recently, at the time of the recording of this episode, we had just experienced the birthday of our country, July 4th. And one of the symbols of our country and its design from its very beginning is the Declaration of Independence. But have you ever really read any of the words from the Declaration of Independence? Well, have you? Have you ever thought about using those words to suck kids into what you're getting ready to talk about? Not wait till it happens, but use them at the beginning to say, let's take a look at this and what these words meant and who wrote them and where they came from and where the ideas came from. So, you know, the very beginning of the Declaration starts this way. When, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with one another. Now that's interesting. The second paragraph is something that we probably recognize a little bit more. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, have you ever read those words? How about the entire document? You could use the Declaration of Independence as a stepping stone to understanding the foundation of our country, the thoughts that were in the minds of the founders of our country. There's any number of things by simply going through and analyzing, not memorizing, using it as a stepping stone. All right, so using that as a primary source, that's a cool thought. What other tools, what other primary sources are out there in your different content areas? I mean, are there different types of primary sources that we could use to better understand scientific developments? Or how about the changes that we've had in mathematics that help us understand the world around us? I mean, you know, what about personal journal articles or diary entries? You know, there's any number of things, but my favorite is the interview. Yeah, now we're talking the interview. Somebody who actually experienced life then. You know, it was cool when I was in college in New Mexico. I had a professor who taught physics who actually had been one of the scientists in many of the atomic testing situations that had happened back at the birth of our focus on the atomic world. Very cool. And he also wrote our textbook. What a cool thing. So when he talked, he was someone who actually was there. He didn't just, you know, write a book. He lived it. Oh, yeah, cool stories. You know, in the coming weeks, you will hear my interview with Jim Spradley. And I hope that you will listen to his words and not only be inspired by him, but also use his words to think about how you could use that interview to engage the kids in some aspect of your content or class. You don't have to be a history teacher for it to be a tool. Nope. You know, it may be that just that you're fascinated by history, that you listen to his words. But I got to tell you, if you listen more closely, you could use his words to help get kids more engaged in many different content areas. So I challenge you, while you listen to him, think about how you could use that interview to engage the kids in your class. Try and number the ways. Come up with a list of 5, 10 ways. And also then, think about the different types of primary sources that you might use in planning for this fall that you can use to help engage the kids. And whatever time of the year it is, by the way, let's make this evergreen here. You know, it's whenever you're planning, what other types of primary sources could you gather in your planning, in your research, in the development of your class to help the kids go, wow, I want to know more about this subject? I hope you enjoy listening to Jim. More so, you know, in this world where too many times I hear people say, I can't do this because, or this is bad in my world, therefore I can't do this, or, you know, somebody else was just lucky. Wow. Go back and listen to Jim. I don't think luck had anything to do with it. And could you use those words to help you create a lesson around that? The power of determination and persistence. I'll bet you could. Think about how you could use primary sources to make your classes more engaging, more exciting, and can get the kids to go, wow. I think you can come up with many different ways, don't you? Yep, I think so. Enjoy. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. The opinions expressed on Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 are those of the guests and hosts. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is intended to share ideas, advice, and suggestions for classroom teachers and school administrators. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is produced for educational purposes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll share it with your friends. Take care.